Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Ruthie Harper. I am an internist in Austin, Texas. I specialize in integrative medicine, which is the science where we try to find the root cause of diseases and symptoms with the body and actually address those. And we decided to change formats tonight and actually do a podcast instead of a video because we've gotten some inputs and feedback that a lot of people would like to be able to listen to these lectures in the car, on their way to work, when they are getting ready in the morning, but that an audio versus a video format might be better used and received. And so tonight we're going to talk about low testosterone and men, signs, symptoms, and solutions. This is one of a series of lectures that we've been doing in the Austin, Texas community, just trying to raise awareness about how people can live healthy and well, especially over the age of 40, especially as they age. And we've done a series of lectures on female hormones. We've talked about thyroid. We've talked about the female hormones, estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, how you can replace those things, benefits, risks, all of that information, and then started off this year in 2018 with a lot of information about food and fueling and body composition, weight maintenance and health related to exercise, and finally, fasting, which has become an interesting topic with a lot of different options and ways to actually fast for health. With each of these topics, we're really talking about where is the science, how can they be used to help people become healthier and live a more quality life without disease processes. But tonight we want to actually change gears and talk about men and testosterone. So I think it's always important to start with what is testosterone. And what we know about testosterone is it is an anabolic hormone. Anabolic meaning that it is healing and repairing the body, and it's moving us away from this process called catabolism, which is responsible for breaking down old tissues that then are then supposed to be replaced by anabolism, which is healing and repair. And so testosterone is partially responsible for that healing and repair, and it's important for that reason because it keeps our tissues young, rejuvenated, and healthy. And so we know in women that testosterone is made in the ovaries, but in men, it's made in the testes. And we actually have a secondary source of testosterone that comes from our adrenal glands. So our adrenal glands are two small organs that sit on top of our kidneys, and I often call them the stress glands because they're responsible for making stress hormones like cortisol, and they're also responsible for making the balancing hormone, DHEA, which we can measure, but they contribute to this pool of testosterone through DHEA, which can be converted biochemically down the pathway, and so they can support both male and female hormones as our reproductive hormone levels decline. And specifically, we know a lot about female hormonal decline in menopause, but men actually have their own area of hormonal decline now called andropause, which can really be thought of as male menopause. And so as men go through andropause, they're going to actually see their testosterone levels decline and change. So when does this happen? Well, levels can begin to change, believe it or not, as early as the third decade of life. And so we may see levels of testosterone beginning to decline even in the middle 20s male. And what we know is that by the eighth decade of life, typically male levels of testosterone will be somewhere between 33 to 50% lower than they were in their peak as a young man. And so we really are seeing significant declines in testosterone levels as we age, and this really does contribute to a lot of the symptoms of aging and degeneration in men. And with women, typically as we go through menopause, we see this very rapid fall off of our reproductive hormones, but that's in sharp contrast because with men, it's very insidious. These levels peak in our 20s, they slowly decline in our 30s, 40s, 50s, and then as we move into our eighth decade, or as men move into their eighth decade, they'll decline off. But the slower the decline in the hormones, the more insidious or the harder to detect the symptoms. And so what you really have to do is sit down with a man and say, okay, you're now 50, you're now 60. How do you feel with regards to your drive, your energy, your focus, you know, your stamina, even your sexual function at this point of your life compared to where you were in your 20s and 30s? And when you actually ask those questions, you can elicit some really interesting responses to men, which can be linked to declines in testosterone. So what are the other factors that we need to consider when we're looking at males and testosterone levels and what might be causing a decline? Well, certainly stress. And as we know, as we age, we tend to accumulate more stress, not less. And so that becomes a significant factor in the decline of male hormones. But we also see as men age and they may pick up some weight, they may be more likely to be socializing and drinking alcohol. Those things will decline, will cause a decline in their testosterone levels. And then also tobacco, smoking, although that's become less prevalent, that will cause a significant decline in testosterone. And then we also see these chronic diseases of aging that create declines in male testosterone levels. So specifically when men have sleep apnea, if they have diabetes, all of those things will cause a decline in their testosterone levels. It's probably worth mentioning also that there's a couple of medications that can cause a decline in testosterone, specifically Nizoral, which men may be treated for fungal infections, specifically fungus of the toenails or athlete's foot. Steroids, specifically prednisone. And we see prednisone actually quite commonly used now for rashes, for asthma, for respiratory symptoms, for allergies. So prednisone is a fairly commonly used prescription of medication. And lastly, opioid use. As we know, we have an opioid epidemic in the United States right now. It's kind of reached into all classes, male, female, all ages. But what we know is that beyond getting off the opioids, there's some long-term changes in the reproductive hormones, and specifically there's a decline in testosterone with men that definitely needs to be addressed. So what are you going to see if you're a man with low testosterone? And I think the thing that people most commonly think about is the reduction in libido, perhaps erectile dysfunction. Certainly those things may lead the man to the physician's office, you know, with concern regarding his quality of life. But there's other things that we want to consider also, including a decrease in both muscle mass and bone density. We've recognized osteopenia and osteoporosis, so the thinning or significant loss of bone density in females, but it can also happen in males. Men may experience fatigue, a decline in mental function, moodiness or irritability, increases in body fat, particularly around the waistline. We can see hair loss, actual breast discomfort or breast development. Men may have hot flashes, similar to what we might see in women with hormonal imbalance. They may experience sleep issues, a general decrease in their vitality or their energy. And then we can see something called insulin resistance, which is a decreased sensitivity to the amounts of insulin that we're producing in our body that leads to greater and greater amounts of insulin needed to actually keep our blood sugar regulated. And at the far end of that spectrum, you can actually see something called metabolic syndrome that will develop, with one manifestation being the insulin resistance. So what do you do if you are a man, or you know a man, perhaps you're living with a man that you're concerned may have low testosterone levels? Well, certainly they need some sort of clinical evaluation with a practitioner who is knowledgeable in the hormonal field, who has treated lots of men with testosterone, who knows how to identify it, who knows how to do the appropriate workup for it, who knows how to replace it. And specifically, when considering replacement, it's really important to be using the right forms of testosterone. So specifically these bioidentical forms, which the body can understand and utilize, just like the testosterone that's originally made in the male body. And then we always want to look at adequate, healthy levels, which create benefits without risk, and the balance of the hormones in the body. But as far as the laboratory workup that would happen after taking an intake on a man, getting his history, understanding what might be the causes of lower testosterone, we actually want to get some blood work. And I think it's important to differentiate what should be measured in a man that's being worked up for low testosterone versus the type of blood work that I commonly see with a man that comes in for an evaluation here. So oftentimes I'll see a man who comes in with his total testosterone. He may know his total testosterone level. He may be concerned about his testosterone level. And at the other end of the spectrum, he may say, well, my total testosterone level is normal, but I have all the symptoms of low testosterone. And what's important to know and understand is that there's a difference between what we call free testosterone and bound testosterone. And when you look at the total testosterone in a male, it's going to be the amount of free plus bound testosterone that actually equals the total testosterone in that male. So what is the free testosterone? Well, it's going to be the small percentage of testosterone that is available in the man's body to actually act on the cells to get all the benefits of testosterone. And only 1 to 2% of testosterone is free. So only 1 to 2% of the testosterone is available in the male body to actually activate the cells and do all the good work that testosterone can do. The remainder of it is bound. And when I say bound, it's actually on board what I call these transport ships, which are sex hormone binding globulin. And sex hormone binding globulin is a protein or a transport ship that's responsible for circulating the hormone, the testosterone around in the body, at which point it can get free or off the ship to actually work at the cellular level. So once again, that total testosterone is going to be the portion that's bound on sex hormone binding globulin plus the free portion of testosterone that's available to the cell. And what we really want to know and adjust a man's testosterone level based on is the free testosterone, not the bound or total testosterone components. So it's really important to know those specific types of testosterone that are present in the male body. So what are some of the benefits of testosterone that we might see in the male body? Well, it dilates the coronary arteries. So obviously, getting good blood flow to the heart is important. But in addition, this dilation of coronary arteries may actually lower blood pressure in the male. It can reduce cardiovascular risk. It can lower their BMI or body mass index, which is typically used, for instance, in insurance exams to determine risk and ideal weight. What may even be more important than that is looking at the individual's weight, their body composition, how much lean body mass, how much body fat they have, whether those percentages of lean to body fat are ideal, and also the waist size or waist circumference in the male. Because what we know is that men with a larger than ideal waist circumference are at risk for heart disease, insulin resistance syndrome X, and a lot of other chronic degenerative diseases. Other benefits of testosterone, it improves leptin. And if you've listened to the previous lectures, you know that leptin is a hormone that creates satiety or fullness. When it's out of balance, we can be kind of chronically hungry, which can lead to weight gain. So improving the function and sensitivity of leptin can help the male actually lose weight. Testosterone can lower cholesterol, LDL, and triglycerides, all of which lower the man's cardiovascular risk. It can lower their risk of diabetes or blood sugar insensitivity, and it can also help with osteopenia. So this whole bone density piece with men that exists in addition to women. So lots of benefits of testosterone, and definitely an important hormone to evaluate and consider replacing in the male. What about other benefits? Well, what we know is that the higher this bioavailable or free testosterone level in men, the better their performance is going to be in cognitive tests. So their ability to focus, concentrate, get things done. And what we see with a lot of men complaining of kind of brain fogginess or forgetfulness as their testosterone levels decline. And fortunately, the men with the lowest testosterone levels, when they're brought up to these optimal ranges, will have the most significant reverses in their mood and mental decline, because you're actually going from very low levels back into this optimal range of testosterone for the aging male. What about sexual desire and sexual function? And these are some of the things that we think of very commonly when we think of testosterone. And so, you know, what we know is that one study showed that the percentage of men with low or very low levels of sexual desire and libido actually decreased from 64% to 10% when testosterone was replaced, and that if they were having sexual performance issues, erectile dysfunction, that decreased from 67% down to 19% with adequate hormone replacement. So this is obviously a very important area for men. It's equally important for women. It's important for relationships. And so it's nice when we're able to both improve sexual desire, libido, and actual sexual performance with men with, once again, bioidentical testosterone levels, getting those levels right and getting those things in balance with other hormones in the male body. What else do we know about risks associated with low testosterone? Well, there is a fourfold increase in depression in men with low testosterone. And so, fortunately, once again, we see these significant improvements in mood after replacement. And once again, those changes and improvement in mood are going to be greatest in the man with the lowest testosterone levels. What do we need to be thinking about in terms of concerns if we're going to replace testosterone in a male? And without getting into a lot of biochemistry, the hormones are interconnected in both the female body and the male body. And so we have this communication between reproductive hormones like testosterone, adrenal hormones like DHEA, even the thyroid gland. And what we want to make sure of is that when we give testosterone to the male, that we're not getting conversion biochemically of that testosterone into estrogen. So what we're trying to create is the high testosterone, low estrogen male. If we get high levels of estrogen in the male, we're going to get side effects that we don't like. For instance, gynecomastia, which is a medical term for breast enlargement, enlargement of the prostate. You can get elevated hemoglobin and hematocrit, which are your blood counts, which can put the man at risk for clotting and other risks of elevated blood counts. And you may actually see increased moodiness in the man with elevated estrogen when giving testosterone, as opposed to an improvement in mood. So when you're giving testosterone, you're giving the right form, you're measuring the level, and you're actually following these estrogen or estradiol levels along with the free testosterone level to make sure that biochemically you're not getting a conversion of that testosterone into estrogen or estradiol in the male. In addition, another biochemical metabolite or something that testosterone can turn into is DHT or dihydrotestosterone. And what we know about DHT is that that can actually be a risk factor affecting the prostate. So both for prostatic enlargement, often called BPH in the man, and or prostatic cancer. So I'm measuring total and free testosterone levels. I'm measuring estrogen levels. I'm measuring DHT or dihydrotestosterone levels to make sure that once again that balance is actually occurring in the male. And then other things that are really important are a PSA. Most of you know that that is the check that we do on men to evaluate risk for prostate cancer. You want to get a CBC or a blood count, once again, to document that there's no starting elevation in the hemoglobin and hematocrit with the male pre-administering testosterone, and that you don't see any changes there actually after you're giving testosterone replacement. So who would I not give testosterone to? Well, if there's any history of prostatic enlargement, difficulty voiding elevated PSA, which is that prostate cancer test, and or a history of prostate cancer, certainly that man would, what we call, be contraindicated, or they would not be a good candidate for testosterone replacement. Additionally, if they've had breast cancer, and we commonly think of breast cancer in women, but it can occur in men. If they've had any history of liver problems, that would be a contraindication. Men that have breast enlargement or this gynecomastia, elevated hemoglobin and hematocrit, kind of a contraindication or something that we want to think about is skin disease. I mean, sometimes we can see a worsening of acne or eczema in male. And we really want to think about the man also with sleep apnea. Sometimes that male will be contraindicated in terms of actually giving them testosterone. So we'd want to consider that carefully. So that's a pretty good summary on who should not be treated. So once again, what am I doing in terms of evaluating the male for the potential need for testosterone replacement? Well, I'm taking a history, I'm doing an examination, I'm evaluating where he is in life, when these changes happened, why they happened. I'm getting that complete blood count, I'm getting a chemistry, looking at liver function tests, I'm doing a complete thyroid evaluation. And once again, if you have not heard the lecture on thyroid, it would be great for you to listen to that. But a complete thyroid workup includes a TSH, or a thyroid stimulating hormone, a free T3 level, a reverse T3 level, a total T4 level, a free T4 level, and the thyroid antibodies. And it's important to get all those things on the male. It's important to get an LH and an FSH, so luteinizing hormone, follicle stimulating hormone. These are indicators that male is in andropause and that the testes are no longer making testosterone. We should get a total and free testosterone level along with the estradiol and the DHT, which I talked about previously. The PSA, evaluating the health of the prostate and risk for potential prostatic hypertrophy and or cancer. I like to get a prolactin level. Prolactin is a hormone that can be made with small pituitary tumors in men and women. And when they're present, it can actually decrease the reproductive hormones, so specifically testosterone in males. And once I get this workup, I get the indicators for whether or not that male is a candidate for testosterone replacement or not. And then I'll go in very quickly at 4 to 6 weeks, remeasure appropriate levels, make sure I'm not seeing biochemical conversion into other hormones that I don't want to see, making sure that the PSA is remaining, you know, stable and flat, that there's not any new concerns related to prostate cancer. And then I'm following up these levels appropriately as indicated to make sure I'm getting exactly the benefits that I want without risks and problems and side effect. So it is important for a man, in addition to his PSA, to have what's called a digital rectal examination. And typically this is done through their primary care physician, where they're actually having their prostate felt and examined to make sure that there's no masses. It's very unlikely for a man to have prostate cancer if they have a normal PSA, but it's just thorough and important to do both to really get a good evaluation. I like to follow up on this these PSA levels, like I said, at 4 to 6 weeks, and then usually again at 3 months, 6 months, and a year, just to make sure those levels are completely flat and normal on testosterone replacement. When I say flat, if there's any rise in the PSA, that can be cause for concern that possibly that man had a undetected prostate cancer that you didn't know about on beginning testosterone therapy, and that man, you would want to go ahead and pull them off of testosterone right away, send them to the urologist and get an appropriate evaluation there. As I mentioned previously, it's really important to evaluate men for hypothyroidism, so low thyroid function, because men with low thyroid function will almost always have low testosterone. And so obviously, as I mentioned previously, with integrative care, what we want to do is always find the underlying cause or reason for different things that are going on in the body. And obviously, if there's low thyroid, we want to address that, balance that, in addition to actually balancing out testosterone levels. And if indeed replacing thyroid hormone brings them up to an adequate free testosterone level, then we've determined the source. We've fixed the underlying cause, and we've really done that man a service in terms of not just replacing testosterone and understanding what's going on with his thyroid. What about any sort of management post-treatment that may be important? Well, if you do get a man where you are using the right forms of testosterone, so this bioidentical testosterone, which means that it is what I'm giving a man is identical to what he's making in his body, some men can get conversion of that testosterone into estrogen or estradiol. And as a result of that, they can develop some breast enlargement, nipple tenderness, so on and so forth. And so what do you do if that happens with a man that you're administering the right form of testosterone with the right levels and the right balance? Well, you can actually use a prescription medication called anastrozole, A-N-A-S-T-R-O-Z-O-L-E, and it also comes under the trade name Arimidex. And if you use a small dose, typically a milligram, you can use 1/2 to 1 tablet either once or twice weekly, and that may block this conversion into estrogen, allowing you to get nice, healthy, high testosterone levels, low estrogen levels, and again, that's what we're trying to actually accomplish hormonally in the man. If estrogen levels continue to rise, symptoms persist, you can actually go up on that dose of Arimidex and see if you can actually block down that estrogen conversion once again. And once again, all of this should be done with lab follow-up, doing things objectively with actual numbers so that you can get these things dialed in just right and get it just right for the individual. So what are these other hormones that I'm speaking about that need to be in balance with testosterone? So obviously DHEA, which is that important adrenal hormone. It's really important to get a man's insulin levels balanced, to get their thyroid balanced, as I just mentioned. And then melatonin is an incredibly important hormone for us as we age, both men and women, because of its ability to create stage 4 healing and reparative sleep. And sleep is a critical piece of health and is important for healthy testosterone levels, healthy DHEA levels, healthy insulin levels, healthy thyroid levels. Testosterone and melatonin are just intimately linked, and melatonin across the board is really important for our health and wellness. When we balance all of these hormones, the real goal is to create optimal health. So, you know, our bodies are different as we age. Over 40, and when we're no longer reproductive, unfortunately, nature can see us as dispensable as opposed to indispensable. One of the things that nature wants us to do is for us to survive, to reproduce, and so it tends to support our health through our reproductive years, but that can really shift after the reproductive years unless we really understand the science, balance our hormones, and do things correctly that allow our bodies to remain optimally healthy. So what are the keys to health? Well, certainly hormones, as we've discussed. My practice does a lot of work on nutrition, food, understanding that that is the basic fuel that makes our bodies work and provides these biochemical building blocks for optimal cellular and organ function. Food is incredibly important. It's a very kind of personal journey. There's not one way for everybody to eat. And certainly our food and fuel considerations should be part of what we like to eat, how we live our lives, you know, what is important to maintain our weight, to maintain our health. So we do a lot of work in the food world with people. I do believe that everybody will probably require some personalized supplementation. So this is where maybe our bodies need a little bit more B vitamin or a certain nutrient, just because our body runs better when those levels are brought up, and it takes the pressure off of having to be so perfect with our food supply, and allows us to create those building blocks just through some nutritional supplementation support on a daily basis. Having said that, I do believe that supplements should be personalized. They should be based on blood work, and if you really want to get it right, you want to know, why am I taking this, and is my body really benefiting from this? And that can be done through objective analysis of and good science of what the body actually needs, based on testing, and then repeat testing once those supplements are put in place to make sure that you're actually resolving the issues, the reasons that you're giving the supplements in the first place. Sleep is incredibly important, as I mentioned. Stress balance, and I used to say stress reduction, but our body is actually designed to deal with stress. It's just that stress should be followed by calm. And when we have stress calm, stress calm, stress calm, and those things are in balance, our body is actually able to deal with quite a bit of stress and do well with it. Hormones, which we've been talking about tonight, and then exercise or moving our body. And once again, there's a specific lecture on exercise, specifically 30 minutes to Lean Fit Body. And it was really directed to people over 40. We tend to have less time. We get busy as we age and we're over 40. And so I really wanted to do just a particular talk on what are the most important things that you need to do to maintain a lean, fit body in 30 minutes as you age. So getting it right, using bioidentical and synthetic hormones. And these lectures are put on in conjunction with Lamar Plaza Pharmacy, which is a fantastic compounding pharmacy here in Austin, Texas. A compounding pharmacy is able to put together prescription with the right form. So this bioidentical testosterone in just the right amount and in the right form. So sometimes cream, sometimes an under the tongue administration of hormones, sometimes orally, but we can really tailor the type of hormone, the dose of hormone, how we administer the hormone, both to the person's likes, their lifestyle pieces, and then really probably most importantly is getting those blood levels just right with the form of testosterone that we're using and how we're actually administering it. And so in order to do that, you want to use a really high quality compounding pharmacy. And so Lamar Plaza does a fantastic job with that. We always want to measure hormone levels both before and after administration. We want to follow those things closely with objective data and lab work. And that's what prevents us from getting into risks or complications and allows us to establish the balance. And I always, I probably say this 5 times each day in my practice, what are the keys to hormonal balance and health? Getting the right form, so specifically bioidentical, which again is just a term that means that it's exactly identical to what the body made, recognized, and understood when it was making that hormone on its own. It's the exact right key that fits in the cellular lock and allows the body to work. You want to get the right amount, and so that's what the compounding pharmacy allows you to do. Unlike prescription pieces, you don't have to fit the prescriptive dose. The dose is actually custom designed for you, and then the right balance. So measuring these levels, making sure that you're not getting conversion to other hormones that you don't want in the body. And as I mentioned at the beginning, hopefully you're using an incredibly qualified and experienced physician who has expertise in treating thousands of patients in hormone replacement therapy. I've been doing hormone replacement therapy in men and women since 2000 now. And, you know, even with the right form, right amount, right balance, there's a lot of just knowledge through experience that you gain in terms of working with clients. Having said that, I think that when done correctly, the benefits of testosterone are really amazing, and I'm really impressed with the safety and low risk profile that we see in men when testosterone is done correctly. So that's everything that I wanted to share with you tonight regarding testosterone. There is a PowerPoint that was created in conjunction with this lecture. So if you're interested in that, please contact my office at ruthieharper.com. We're always happy to send on that information. And all of these lectures are recorded. If you'll go to the ruthieharper.com website and you can go to public lectures and media, there's a number of recorded lectures, some of them video, some of them audio. If you like the audio over the video, if it allows you easier access to this information, please let us know, and we look forward to continuing to share more information and science with you. And thanks for listening. Good night.